I'd like to invite you this morning over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 29. Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 29. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 29 reads this way. It says, "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, Lord, thanking you again for the opportunity to gather together in your house and to hear your word. Lord, we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to bless the service this morning, that you might be glorified, that we might hear from you, and that we would be able to worship you in truth and spirit. Bless, Lord. Meet each need. Speak to hearts, Lord, as only you can. And we'll praise and thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Willing to Justify Himself. And self-justification really is another form of pride. And pride will always cause us to miss God, even if he's right in front of us. This morning, we had the privilege of studying over in the book of Matthew. And I was reminded here when you had the Pharisees and the religious rulers that were confronting Jesus as to who he was and their opinion of him. And there were so many proofs that were given to them, and they rejected every single one of them. And where does that happen? Listen, that was the Lord they were rejecting. And then the Lord asked them, "What did you go out to see concerning John? Who was he? Was he a prophet? Was he sent from God?" And they didn't want to answer because they knew the answer. And that's a bad way to be. When you know the answer and you on purpose, I don't understand that, and I'm glad of it. I am capable of it. I know it. But listen, when we self-deceive ourselves, we're in a lot of trouble. And so when the truth is presented and we would rather believe a lie because we like the lie, we're in trouble. Listen, people today, I'm wondering, really, if they're pursuing truth. And so Hitler said, if you repeat a lie loud enough and long enough, people will begin to believe it. Here's something that you may not know that he also said. A big lie is better than a small one. People will take hook, line, and sinker on a big lie more than they will on a little one. And as I look today in our society, I wonder if some of that is not true that's taking place. Hitler believed it back then, and he almost took over the world. You know what the problem was? He took on too many fronts all at once. I believe that was the Lord's intervention. I believe God wasn't going to let him do what he wanted to do, just like he's not going to let Satan and the wicked people have ultimate rule and reign. He will rule one day supreme, and I'm thankful of that, and I can rest in that, and knowing this, that he is the truth, the life, and the way. So as we consider some things here this morning, I would like to just remind us that we need to be careful what we allow into our lives, because it does influence us. There are things that are being promoted that it would be worth our while to investigate to see whether or not those things are true or not. And today, if we're not careful, listen, people will believe everything just because it's advertised or just because they receive a phone call. I think people are waking up to know that most of those phone calls are not true, are they? Don't you love it when they tell you, this is the Social Security Department, this is the IRS. But wait a minute, we laugh at that. People are still falling for it, or they would not be doing it. It's humorous, and it's sad at the same time when people fall for those things, is it not? Because it's devastating. They lose so much when they buy into that lie, and so does the child of God. And so do those, listen, who are not saved, that maybe are how would you say, bargaining with the truth, because they may not like it. The truth is always the best way. Always. You'll never find God to say, okay, lie in this situation, lie in that situation. Do you know why he doesn't say that? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And in him, there's no darkness at all. There's no sin, and that's what the lie is. So I want to look at a couple of thoughts as we consider our text this morning. And that is, first of all, two questions from a spiritually educated man, a parable of truth from God, and a question from our Savior. And then also we'll find the lawyer's answer to the response from the Lord. So notice with me, if you would, verse 25. Notice these two questions from this spiritually educated man. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, can you see the pride oozing out? He was coming not to ask a genuine question, but to specifically tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never find the Lord trying to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to look for a loophole. I'll never forget a story told about W.C. Fields. That he was way before my time. I don't think I ever seen any of his movies, but I will tell you my understanding. He was a very vile, wicked, and licentious individual. He was not anybody to look up to. And he was in the hospital for some reason, and his friend came in to visit with him, and he was looking through the Bible. And his friend was scratching his head in confusion. He'd never seen W.C. Fields looking through the Bible. And he says, "What are you doing reading the Bible?" Because his friend was a wicked individual as well. And he said, "I'm looking for loopholes. I'm looking for loopholes." Do you think he found any? No, he didn't find any loopholes. And so here's this lawyer. He's coming before the Lord, and he's approaching him with the idea in his heart. The Holy Spirit has revealed it to us through his word to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now notice this. He said unto him, "What is written in the law?" This is the Lord responding, "How readest thou?" You know what he's saying when he asks that question, "How readest thou?" How do you evaluate the word of God? How are you hearing the word of God? Have you ever thought you heard something and did I really hear what I just thought I heard? Or maybe even this, I misheard that and I missed something that was vital to my understanding of what was being said. And that can happen. Listen, today the world does not understand and is not hearing what the Lord God has said in his word. Do you believe that this morning? Because why in the world... Please tell me, why in the world would anybody who can understand that they are a sinful individual reject, listen, the love of God? God is merciful. He's not willing that any should perish. He's saying, "I have come to set you free. I have come to pay the price that you might enter into eternal life." And people say no. And that is because they think that God is a God of wrath. No, he's a God of righteousness, and because of that, there is wrath. He is a God of righteousness, he is a God of truth, and because we live in darkness and our heart is desperately wicked, the Bible says, and who can know it? And I want to remind us as believers, that still applies to you and I. Be careful that you don't follow your heart, but that you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Never once do you find the Lord Jesus Christ say, "Follow your heart." Never once is it in the Word of God that says, to believe what you believe in your heart. You ever hear people say that? "Well, I know what I believe in my heart." Well, I know what the Bible says about our heart, so that's dangerous grounds. That will put you at enmity against God. And that's the bottom line. Listen, people, the world is the enemy of God. That's what it is. We're in it, we're not of it, and so we need to be guarded. We need to be careful. And Satan, when the Bible says when he knows his time is short, he's going to turn up the heat. I can see the heat getting turned up all the time. But here's the sad commentary. Listen, for a believer to not take note of their personal life, taking inventory. Okay, Lord, do I excuse myself concerning the truth? Do I use deception in my daily life? Do I speak as the world speaks and what you would consider to be wickedness? Do I use the language of the world? Do I laugh at the jokes of the world? See, these are the things that God says is going to make the difference between the world and the child of God. And here's the good news. Ready? God is not wanting us to change ourselves. God is wanting us to ask Him to fulfill His promise of changing us if we're a child of God. It's where it begins. You and I don't have the strength. It's our nature. We're bent, unfortunately, in that direction. But we're also indwelt as a safe child of God with the Holy Spirit that wants to take us in a new direction that brings forth the light of God. And it's concerning again, and I know I've said this in the past, but listen, I won't quit saying it until I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's His Word. He says, if you've been born again, you're a new creature. Is that taking place in your life? That's between you and the Lord. Is that happening? Do you see the change? Do you see that the things of God are becoming sweeter and brighter, and you're less attracted to the things of the world that are passing away? Are we more drawn to the grace and the mercy of God and to experience that in our daily lives, that the world might see there's a difference? And by the way, that we might enjoy our relationship with our Savior. So here's this question. The Lord responds back. How do you read? How do you perceive? How are you understanding these things? Notice verse 27. And He answering said, so He's going to tell you, how do you read the law? Well, my goodness, He's going to quote it for us. Notice this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength. And with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And He said unto him, thou hast answered right. You see what the Lord said there? Thou hast answered right. You gave the right answer. Now, this do, and thou shalt live. We can regurgitate the right answer, but what is the doing part of it? Does not James tell us? Faith without works is what? Okay, that's two of us. Let's try that again. Faith without works is what? Yeah. I am talking to believers this morning, right? Faith without works is what? Yeah. Amen. Boy, sometimes that's hard to say. I hope that's not picturing that our life is without the works of God's faith in us. Because, first of all, God wants your life to be blessed. He wants you to enjoy. He doesn't want you to fabricate a thing. He wants to give you His peace. Isn't that what He said? My joy I give unto you, not the joy of the world. My peace I give unto you, not the world's peace. Is that the Word of God? Is it the Word of God? Do we believe that? And are we seeing that in our own lives? See, this is where the rubber meets the road. We want to hear something new sometimes, and we forget about what's already been given. And that's what caused Israel to fall away from the Lord. They were looking for something, but it wasn't God and a relationship with Him. It wasn't, because had it been God, they'd have still been walking with the Lord. Is that not the truth? Will God ever forsake you and I? Now, here's a sad commentary. We can forsake God. Yeah, and I'll tell you what will happen, and you know what will happen right away. We'll grow cold to the things of God. And here's the unfortunate truth. No matter what it is, you will seek for happiness somewhere. And if it's not God, it will be in the world. It may not be sin, what we would call sin. It would be sin, because we'll make whatever it is that we're pursuing our joy instead of the Lord. That'll be an idol. And it may not be a bad thing in the eyes of the world, but our love for God will grow distant. So here's the question, ready? Are we growing? Well, let me ask you this truth. Does the Lord want you and I to grow in His grace and mercy? Have you read that in the Word of God? All right. So if God wants us to grow in His grace, question stands to reason, are we? Are we experiencing more of the grace of God in our own personal lives? It's important. Our world is in a mess, but more importantly, listen, our families are at stake in what they see in your life and mine. Our friends are at stake. And we're not talking about sinless perfection, but a striving towards the grace of God. I want the things of this world, as the song says, to grow strangely dim as I draw near the cross. That will be the natural result. Everybody in this room, yours truly included, is that not what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says? Will stand before the Lord. We'll stand before, not for the condemnation of our sins, but standing at the Bema seat because we've been privileged as children of God to receive the blessings of the Lord. And then we'll be like the parable that the Lord spoke about, the wise stewards and the unwise ones. How good of a steward, by the grace of God, have we been? See, this is revival here. This is the foundation of it. If we just think, pray for revival and we don't do anything about it, we're in trouble. Does God want His light to shine in the world? How will He do that? How will He do that? It's the only way it will happen. That's because that's His will, that it might shine through your life and mine. He wanted Israel to be that light. And Israel was that light for a while. And then what happened was, over the course of time, they grew dead, didn't they? Well, it's been now, I think, longer than Israel had the grace of God on them. So we've been now in this dispensation of grace for some 2,000 plus years now. Is it possible that we've come to the same place where Israel was when the Lord came? Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, He asked the question, shall He find faith? Shall He find faith? Now here's the situation. You don't have to worry about anybody but one person. It's all you have to worry about. You don't have to worry about what the news is saying. You don't have to worry about what churches are saying. All you have to worry about is your personal relationship and walk with the Lord. Do you think God wants you to hear this morning? Do you think God's concerned about your heart and the direction of your heart? Because if we're just chalking off messages, we're missing something. If we think that's faithfulness and there's no change in our life, and we're involved in, I'm not saying, I don't know, I don't, listen, I've said this in the past. You smile, say amen, I'll never know the difference. And I'm not concerned about it. What I'm preaching this morning and every message is for you and the Lord, between you and the Lord. I'm not your judge. And I've got news for you. I don't want to be. Amen? I couldn't be. Besides that, right? I wouldn't want to be. I couldn't be. And I'm glad that God is. But listen, we will be accountable for everything that we allow into our life. One day we'll stand before God and give an account for everything. And there are some people that will say, well, nobody else is seeing this, so it must be okay. No, it's not. No, it's not. If it's against the Word of God, there's a problem. If there's things that we have allowed into our lives that is contrary to the Word of God, there's a problem there. So what are we to do? Well, let me tell you what not to do. Do not roll up your sleeves and try harder to correct that. Let me tell you what God says to do. Bring it to Him and say, oh God, I am confessing this. This is a problem. This is an area in my life that needs to be resolved, and I need your mercy and grace to do it. And do you know God will do it? What is that? Well, how about the fruits of the Spirit? Because didn't He say we'd be fruitful? In John 15, His disciples, He wanted them to bear fruit, more fruit and much fruit. So the first fruit of the Spirit, it starts with L. Is that running in our lives? Not our love. Our love is selfish. God's love that is merciful. Are we thinking about others? Are we really, or are we just doing things for them that we think they want? That's a big difference. That's a big difference. I might come to your house and paint your house for you. Wouldn't you like that? Red. Would you really like that? I think you would like a brand new paint. Why would you complain? With a purple door. And neon green trim. Get a load of that. Wouldn't you love it? Brand new paint. I'll pay for it. Not really, but you know what I'm talking about. Amen? And sometimes I wonder if that's not what we're giving God. Here's what I'm giving you, Lord. Aren't you proud of that? Mm-mm. No. No. Because it's truth in the inward parts that God desires. More than anything else. Listen, if we're not careful, we'll be like this lawyer here that was very well educated. He was no slouch. He had a good intellect, but a bad heart. And he couldn't see it. We might be in the same situation if we're not careful. So he said, how do you read? He says, you've answered right. And then he says, this do and thou shalt live. And the truth is, listen, he wasn't doing that. And so he decided to divert a little bit here and shift a little bit. And notice what he says here in the second question in verse 29. But he, and the Lord reveals this, why he asked this question, but he, willing to justify himself, that's a bad place to be, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Oh, he thought he was so sharp, he had the Lord. Who is my neighbor? Listen, as a believer, is it possible for us to say, my life is okay? Because after all, nobody can do everything that's talked about in the Word of God. Nobody could do this. Nobody could live any better than what I'm living. We've become a judge unto ourselves. Nobody can live any better than the way I'm living. Can you tell me what might be missing out of that statement? God would be the answer. Nobody could live any better than me, the way I'm living. Nobody. And the problem is, God's completely void in that life. When we begin to look at what the Word of God says and look at what people are doing and look at what we're doing and leaving out the exceptional grace of God, we fall short. And I will tell you, you can think whatever you want to think, but tell me, what will you say when you look into the face of the Savior? One thing I need to be clear of is that it's been preached here that God expects us to be empowered by His grace and that we might have His joy and His peace prevalent in our life for our blessing. Isn't that amazing? God wants to bless us first to be the blessing and the light of the world and to enjoy it. So listen, was the Lord trying to scold or be unkind to this lawyer? As we consider this, may I tell you something? God, Jesus Christ Himself, was the Son of God, was reaching out with mercy and love. I want you to know something here this morning. God is reminding us with mercy and love as well. Listen, get ready. We're to be found faithful when He returns. And that's not like a test that you cram for the night before, because we don't know the day or the hour. So it's not going to happen that way. This is one that you're going to have to do right by the grace of God and not in your own strength. Let me say that again. This is the one you're going to have to do right in the grace of God and not in our own strength. It won't happen. But if we don't expect it, will it ever happen? If we don't approach the Lord in faith, believing that He can fulfill what He's promised, will we receive it? If we don't believe that God can fulfill what He's promised, we'll not ever receive it. Even as a saved child of God, we have to be willing to believe everything that the Bible has said to us about our salvation. Not just part of it. All of it. And then bring it before the Lord when there's a problem, instead of saying, well, you know, I'm not perfect. Well, nobody ever doubted that. But our God is. And it's the grace of God that God wants to impart into your life and mine that does make us a new creature. You see, there's a conflict there. We're a new creature, and there's no change. That's not a new creature. There's a problem. And so here's this lawyer, and he asks the Lord, who is my neighbor? And this is amazing when you consider it. Notice this parable of truth really from the Lord here in verse 30. And Jesus answered, he said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell down among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. In case you wondered how bad this guy was beaten, he was beaten half dead. That's not a good situation to be in. They're half dead, you're not going anywhere. You're sitting there, you're sitting still, nothing can be done. And by chance, there came a certain priest that way. And why did he pick this priest? Because if anybody should have known the Lord and been walking with God, it surely should have been this priest. And so he said, he passed by that way. When he saw him, he passed on the other side. Isn't that merciful? Isn't that kind? He didn't want to get involved, did he? So listen, are you and I a royal priesthood? Does not Peter tell us that? Okay. So when we approach something in our lives, do we sidestep it? Well, after all. So he goes on. Likewise, a Levite, verse 32, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed on the other side. These guys are on the other side. You know what the problem with that? It wasn't the Lord's side. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and he saw him and had compassion on him. Now, you know what the deal is with this Samaritan? He's half Jew, half Gentile. And the Jews loathed the Samaritans, right? They loathed them. They would, you've heard, if you know the history, they would walk around Samaria. They didn't want anything to do with the Samaritans. They put this in their mind that they would be unclean to walk through there. So you know what the Lord is saying? Somebody you despise is doing the right thing. And it's unfortunate. Some people would despise the proclamation of this word this morning. Some people would despise it. But unless we hear it, unless we understand it, we cannot receive the truth. How can I be saved unless somebody explains to me my sin? The truth is, everybody that's ever been created has that God void that they've got to reject somewhere in their life and say no to God and say, and then even profess to be an atheist. They weren't always atheists. Ask any, well, I don't even know if they tell you because they bought into a lie. So they would tell you maybe they were born that way. But they weren't. Because God says when they understood God and didn't acknowledge him as God and rejected God, God gave them over to that reprobate mind. And they went in that direction, Romans chapter 1. And so, as we consider this here, he talks about the Samaritan. And when he saw him, had compassion on verse 34, and he went unto him and bound up his wounds. Do you see this faith that's working? Do you see what he's saying? He's saying it's displaying something. It's. And by the way, let me ask you this question. Did it cost the Samaritan something? Yeah, it cost him to deny himself and what he had to take care of to take care of somebody else. It is the same thing that is required of your life and mine if we're going to walk with the Lord. We have to deny ourselves. Here's really the root of the problem. When we look to our lives and we allow things that God says are sinful and wrong, what we're saying is we're not willing to deny ourselves. And now we're going to throw something else on there. I can't do it. And here's the lie. I'll never be able to do it. Or it will be an impossibility for that to be accomplished in my life. That would be the best. The truth is, we will never be able to do it, but God has promised to fulfill those things in your life and mine. Do we really want revival? Yes. Yes. Amen. Sorry. Let me try that again. That was my fault. Do we really want revival? Yes. Amen. I knew you did. So we have to be willing to start with me. Amen? The person in the mirror, God. Don't take on the whole thing. Just pick one. Pick one before the Lord. God, that I might be whatever it might be, more patient, more kind, more gentle, take more time to think before I answer. That would, boy, I think that one alone would save us a lot of trouble, wouldn't it? Let me spend a little bit more time before I give an answer, that it might be coupled with your grace. Very quickly, we'll move on here. So he bounds up his wounds, verse 34. In fact, let's look at that one. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. This was an inconvenience to him, but the rewards are unbelievable. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, I will come again, and I will repay thee. He was willing to make sure that the deed was completed. You know, that'd be a good approach for every believer, that your job would be completed in me, God. And whatever the cost might be, and here's the cost to present ourselves before the Lord, a willing vessel. Lord, here I am, Lord. Do what you want with me. I'm a mess, but you said you've promised to change me, and that's what I'm asking you to do. You change me, God. And as you change me, put it in my heart to praise you for those changes. Put it in my heart. May I never think that those changes take place because of something I've done, but because of your grace and your mercy in me. And that's a blessing, really, for us as believers to see that this is a work of God. So, verse 36, the Lord now asks them this question. You saw the two questions. What must I do to enter eternal life? And who is my neighbor? The Lord just told him who his neighbor was. And notice this question that he asks of him. He says, verse 36, which now of these three thinkest thou? Remember how readest thou? Thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? Now the Pharisees, when they were before the Lord, doubting who he was and trying really to discredit the Lord, he asked him, who do you say John was? Well, they all knew that John's father was Zacharias the priest. The one who was making the offering in the Lord's house, who came out, and they all knew that he saw a vision, and because he couldn't speak until his son John was born. And that was even a memorable mark, because why is he calling him John? There's nobody in his house called John. I mean, listen, there was a memorable mark left on John the Baptist. Everybody knew. But they said, we can't tell you. And so the Lord gave him like answer, neither tell I you. But notice what he says here. Ready? Which now, verse 36, of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And here's his answer, which is good, I think. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. He was still having a problem with the Samaritan. That would have depicted it. You know, you had a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. That would have been the best way to answer it. Samaritan. He couldn't get that out. But he said, him that showed what? Him that showed mercy. Mercy. It's a mercy to us to present ourselves before the Lord. Listen, for God to make the changes in us. You will experience the mercy of God to change your nature to His. It's what He wants to do. And really, what's happening is the nature of God, not ours, is coming through our lives. Our nature, until the resurrection, is fallen, marred with sin. But God wants to give you, does He not? If it's His fruit, it's His nature. Wow. That is the potential for the child of God. If we drop the idea of trying to justify ourselves for where we're at right now. If we want revival, we have to stop justifying ourselves and say, God, I don't want to play games in my relationship with you. I'm not here to have my ears tickled. I'm here to allow you to do your work, to experience your grace and your power for your glory in me that you've promised. That my family might see your light, my church family, and the whole world. The invitation is the Lord's. The choice is ours. Would you stand, please, as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, thanking you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace that you've given already to us. All we have to do is call upon you to show it and to be willing to ask you to change us. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you speak to their hearts as well. But Lord, for those of us who know you as Savior, may we be willing, Lord, to present ourselves as you've called us to, a living sacrifice. Bless and we'll thank you, Lord, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.